Okay, tonight I would like to begin the halachas of Muksa as a continuation of the Hilchas Shabbos that we've learned in the past, but it's a new start. The halachas of Muksa are divided really into many, many categories. There's two head categories, which one is things which have no usage. By themselves, they have no usage until I give them usage, like stones, pebbles, wood, things like that, which by themselves have no usage until I actually give them usage. Then there's a second category of utensils and different types of appliances and things which have a usage, which are called kalim, are considered kalim, and they have dinim of muksa. Now, it goes back to the days of Dovra Melech, when Dovra Melech was Nifter, which was on a Shabbos. The story goes that the Gemara brings down that he was learning and the Malachim Avos couldn't get to him. And till the Malachim Avos shook the tree outside, and he looked up from his learning and went to see who was shaking the tree, and then he fell down the stairs, and the Malachim Avos was able to take his neshama back. And here he is lying outside. The Gemara tells us that Shlomo Melech did not know what to do because there's Dovra Melech is here. He's a mace, and a mace is muksa. So he went to the Beis Din to discuss how to move Dovra Melech so that the dogs and won't come and make a chilul and disgrace him. So that we see already back in the days of Dovra Melech, there was this idea of muksa. And then later on, in the times of Nechemya Mechachilai, he was one of the Nevi'im. So Nechemya saw that Klal Yisrael were not obeying Shabbos the way they should be. And they were doing certain things which were not in the Shabbos spirit. They were doing certain things which may have been even usher on Shabbos. So he came along and he felt that there's a need to usher people from moving even objects that have a usage. And he created what we call muksa, but it's a gzeira on kalim. Gzeira, it's called the issa tiltal. Issa to move kalim. If we take a look at the Rambam seems to say that there are a few reasons for this gzeira. Why did Chazal feel the importance? Why did Nechemya feel the importance of making these halachas that we're about to learn? And one of them is, one reason is, because since there's a mitzvah on Shabbos brought down by the Nevi'im tell us that on Shabbos, the way a person walks on Shabbos should be different than the way he walks during the weekday, which means during the week we take big steps, we run on Shabbos, we're supposed to walk slowly. The way we speak on Shabbos should be different than the way we speak during the weekday. During the week we speak about business. Shabbos we do not speak about business. Reb Chaim Volozhiner used to speak Lashon HaKodesh on Shabbos. Just the way the Shabbos should be different. So too Chazal felt that what a person moves around on Shabbos should be different than during the week. There should be this constant awareness that today is Shabbos. And the way I act today is different than the way I act during the week. So if I have to think before I move something, I have to think, am I allowed to? Is this mutter or not? It keeps this awareness that today is Shabbos. Another reason is the Torah tells us that Shabbos is for the sake of rest. L'ma'an yenuach. In order for a person to rest. Now many people during the week are very busy. With different things. Come Shabbos, they have some free time, they can start rearranging their houses. So Chazal said, you know what? We want you to rest. So therefore, we're going to limit you on what you're allowed to move around. And also, those people that don't work, so they're always busy rearranging their house. So what's going to make Shabbos different? So again, these are the different reasons why Chazal felt the need, why the Navi Nechemya felt the need to give us the dinim of muksa. But the idea is that throughout Shabbos, We should have this constant awareness that today is Shabbos. Shabbos is a different day than during the week. The way we act on Shabbos is different than during the week. Okay, so what we will discuss first is what's called a kli shemlach delissa. A kli shemlach delissa means a kli is a utensil which its main purpose is for Issa. For example, if I have a hammer, what, when someone goes to the store to buy a hammer, and they're buying the hammer to knock nails in, to knock nails, you buy a screwdriver to screw screws. A hammer, a screwdriver, these are kelim shemlach delissa. Their main purpose is for Issa. And you may have certain kelim which are sometimes used for Issa, sometimes used for Heter. We're going to look at what's it mainly used for. What's its main usage? For example, a pot. When you buy a pot, you buy the pot to cook in it, to cook. Now, I do store food in pots many times. It's just simpler. Instead of pouring the food out of the pot at the end into a container and then have to re-warm it up in a pot, I just leave it in the pot and I put the pot in the refrigerator. So I use the pot for storing food. However, a pot is made for cooking. So even if most of the time, if you count the time, it could be I use it more for storing than for cooking, but still, a pot is considered a kli shemlach doi le'isser, and therefore will follow the halachas that we're about to learn. Sometimes it gets a little complicated. Let's say you have a watch, one of those calculator watches, or one of those pens which have the pull-out berchas hamazons. So how do we view such a thing which has a dual purpose? It's a calculator and a watch. So then already we'll have to see what's its main usage. What's it mainly used for? Another interesting question would be if, let's say, I have a pail that I use for sponging, right? I put in it the water with the soap to clean the floors. Or a ironing board. So the ironing board, which I iron. So are we going to view that as are we going to include that in this category of a kli shemlach delissa, meaning the pail itself is not used for this. There's nothing wrong with putting water and soap in a pail. But this pail is always connected with sponge, which I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos, or the ironing board itself is a nice board, but it's used for the ironing on it, which I can't do on Shabbos. So therefore, that many places can feel that this also would be considered a kli shemlach delissa. I'll give you another interesting example, which the Paisim talk about. How about a telephone book? A telephone book, which is made to look up numbers to make phone calls. But do I make the phone call with the phone book? No, I don't make the phone call with the phone book. I use the phone to make the phone call. Just this gives me the number to make the phone call. So how do we view that? Okay, so there are different examples of what's considered a kli shemlach delissa, but basically something which its main usage is for something which is asa to do on Shabbos, that's considered a kli shemlach delissa. Now, what are the dinim of a kli shemlach delissa? What are the halachas? So there's two heterim over here. One is what's called the tzarech gufay, and the second one is what's called tzarech mekoma. Tzarech gufay means for its usage. For example, I have a hammer which is made for knocking in nails. However, if someone lost their nutcracker, they would take that hammer and crack open the nuts with it. Is that so strange? You get locked in a room, you would use the screwdriver to pick the lock to get in or out of the room. So the hammer or the screwdriver has other usage to it. It's not common. You may not think of it offhand, but there are other usages, which are mutter, right? It's mutter to break a shell of a nut open. It's mutter to pick the lock to get out of the room. So that's called a tzarich gufay. To use the kli, to use this kli shalach delisa, to use this hammer or this screwdriver for a heter, for a mutter dikki usage, that would be mutter. If let's say I'm just moving the screwdriver for the sake of, I enjoy just filling it like that, but not for any real usage. I'm not using it for anything, just playing with it with my fingers, that's not allowed. That's not called a usage. You're not using the hammer, you're not using the screwdriver, yeah?
Is the Rav saying that you should make up a random reason to...
No, if the random reason comes up, then I could use the hammer for that reason. I mean, I have a hammer. This hammer, now I'm not allowed to move. But if I need it to crack open a nail, a nut, I could use it for the nut. If I need the screwdriver to pick the lock because I have no other way of picking the lock, then I can use it.
Okay.
Okay, right, is that clear? Now, klishim lach del iser, since its main usage for iser, Chazal did not want us to move it around. The word, maybe we'll start doing whatever malacha that we're not supposed to do. However, if a heter usage comes up on Shabbos and I need this for it, then I could do it. There's an interesting... there was a Rav here in Yerushalayim. There's a Rav here in Yerushalayim who used to go to bar mitzvahs on Shabbos, to the kiddush of the bar mitzvah bach had a kiddush on Shabbos, and he'd bring along a nice fancy pen, a nice pen, and he would give it to the bar mitzvah bach as a present. And he, because he felt that even though it's a pen, which is again kli shemlach del iser, because its main usage is for writing, but one of its usages is a nice pen you give for a present. There's nothing wrong with giving presents on Shabbos, so you give it to the bar mitzvah bach for a present. So
that's weird.
It's weird,
yeah,
no?
So you can only give a present that you use.
What?
So you can only give a present that you could use.
No, we can get around that. It's not the end of the road.
Did it show?
No, he didn't. You know, either he did it to show or he did it. But the truth is, Rav Kiva Eger already speaks about this. He says it's mutter to give a chassin a leichter, which is also kli shemlach del iser, because it's used for holding fire, on Shabbos as a present. That's Rav Kiva Eger's example. See?
What is the whole thing with the kli shemlach del iser? It's something like, it doesn't like... make noise when you touch
it's
it?
It's nothing to do with noise. It's main, the
no,
hammer is
saying,
made
like,
for knocking.
That and something that's actually muksa.
Something with, like a rock? A rock you can't move even if you want to use the rock. If I want to break open a nut with a rock, I cannot do that on Shabbos.
So why did a rock become muksa?
So we'll discuss that also. Right now we start off with whatever falls into this category of kli shemlach del iser, something which is considered a kli, has a usage, it's made for usage. So these are, I could use it for a hetadik usage. How about mekoymei? What's the heta of the tzarech mekoymei? The second heta is that it could be used for, so mekoymei means its place. The hammer is sitting on the table, and I need this place on the table for, I want to learn there, or I'm having guests, and I need the whole table, right? So I need the place where the hammer is. Can I move the hammer or not? So that is mutter. It's mutter because that's called tzarech mekoymei. I need the place where the hammer is. What happens if the hammer is on the table, but I don't need the place of the hammer? I don't need the place where the hammer is. It's on the table, but I have enough room without that spot. So here, if Moshe Feinstein says, then you have no heter to move it. You don't need to use the hammer, and you don't need the place of the hammer. So he says you should leave it there, and that's kavod Shabbos, to leave the hammer on the table of Moshe Feinstein. We'll see later on that there may be another heter to this. We'll get back to this, but at this point we're going to stick with that.
You're allowed to move it regularly without a shiur.
When it's mutter, if it's the tzarech gufay mekaymai, you let it move it regularly, and more than that. When I pick it up, once I have it in my hand, right, let's go to the hammer on the table. I need the place where the hammer is. Pick the hammer up. I do not need to put it down in the first closest place where I could. I can go to the other side of the house to put it. Once I'm holding a beheter, I can now move to wherever I want. So again, so kli shem lakdelis is mutter to move it for gufay mekayme, and once I'm holding it, I can move it to wherever I want.
Doesn't Kamo also include if it's in a dangerous area for a child to
read? If it's in a dangerous area, we'll learn that's one of the exceptions. You always allow to move it. If something's dangerous for a child or for an adult, then you're allowed to move it because it's dangerous. Yeah.
We just had a question just now on Shabbos. Like, I had a guitar leaning against the freezer and I needed the freezer.
Good example.
So is that this?
Perfect. The guitar is a kli shel melachta l'issur because you now play music on Shabbos. You need the place because in order to open the door, I need that area.
Right.
So that's Tzarech Mekayma. Perfect.
This
I mean, give me another example. Yeah.
This only works for kli shel melachta l'issur.
So far, that's all we're discussing. We'll move on to other Kalim. We'll discuss other things. But so far, that right now, that's the rule over here. So I'll give you another example. I have a fan. It's in the room. It's blowing at my seat. I always sit at the table. I like to learn there. I'm comfortable there. And the fan is blowing right at me. And I don't want the fan blowing at me. Or I have an alarm clock in the room, and the alarm clock's set to go off at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, if it goes off at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be annoyed because I want to sleep until 8. I want to sleep until 8. So the halacha is, I can move it. Why? Because when we talk about the place of the utensil, we don't mean the exact place where the utensil's sitting on. We mean the area that it takes up. The fan blowing at my spot by the table is causing me that now I can't use that part of the table because it's blowing at me. So I can move it because that's close to everyone coming. The alarm clock that's going to ring in my room at 7 o'clock and not allow me to sleep, or is going to wake me up, means it's taking away my usage of the place of the bedroom. So I can move that alarm clock even before it rings. I can move it after it rings also. I can take it out of the room if I don't want to disturb anyone. So that's also called the Tzarech Mekayma. I'm not moving it to use it. I'm not using the alarm clock. I'm not using the fan. But I'm moving it away so that I can use the place of where it has its influence. Okay? Is that clear? Okay, now, so if the child comes and empties out your cabinet with all the pots and pans all over the floor, so now, and assuming it's not dangerous, now what am I allowed to do? So, I mean, I don't need the pots and pans, so I don't have the first head of the Tzarech Gufay. Mekayimai, do I need the place or not? If I need that area in order to walk to get to the sink, or I need the area, so then I can clear it off. Same thing if I leave my pots on the counter. So if there's food in the pot, then the pot is not muksa. As long as there's food in the pot is not muksa. But once I finish taking out the food and the pot's left alone, or I wash the pots before Shabbos and I left them on the counter to dry, now I need to work with these rules. Is it Tzarech Gufay Mekayimai? Do I need the place on the counter or not? Yes.
When you're talking about the alarm clock, your phone is your alarm clock,
Yeah. Same thing. The phone will be a kli shel melachta l'issur, and I'm moving it in order that it shouldn't take away my usage of this room.
I thought it's
like
chasar and kis.
Look, we'll discuss chasar and kis, and I think in most cases the way people treat their phones is not chasar and kis. If you give it to your kid to play with, then it's for sure not.
Are toys
We'll get to
it. Oh,
if it depends. It's a good question. I have rattles. I'm starting with rattles, then we'll get to that. I have a rattle. I have rattles or these toys that are made for the babies that make noise. So that's not muksa. That's not kli shel melachta l'issur. Why? Because since it's made for a baby to play with, and a child less than 3 years old or 2 years old, there's no issa on him to play with these toys. So therefore, it's not malach teliser. However, when you're moving it, you have to be very careful that you don't make noise. Now, as if the rattle was left in the crib where he needs to lay down, you can pick it up very carefully without making noise. It's not muksa. Over there, also you need the mukaimah maybe. But if you have toys which are for older kids, which they're not supposed to be playing with, it, so then it may be considered klishim lach teliser. But in general, toys which are, even if they make noise, they're not muksa. Because they're for young children, that there's no issa for them to play with it. You're not allowed to give your kid to play with it. You can't feed your child to do issa. But it won't be malach teliser.
So if I'm cleaning up, can I move them?
Very carefully that they don't make noise.
Let's say it's an electric toy that's off.
So electric toy has two purposes. Many electric toys, you use it with the noise and without the noise. If it's used without the noise, so then that's mutter kli.
What if it's only, like, the point
if it's only
place?
Used, so then that's a kli shlach teliser, and then you'll have to be for one of these two at there. Okay?
Yeah.
It's going to get us to think about Shabbos. Okay, but not to get annoyed with Shabbos. Just to help us enjoy Shabbos. To feel like we're living in the house of Hashem. When we live in the palace of the king, to be extra careful what we touch, even though I always thought like that until I was in one of the ambassador's house with a group of Bachar, and they were like all over the place. Moving everything around, so okay.
I have a question based on your pot example.
Yeah, yeah.
That they cannot see the pots on the floor.
Yeah.
Can you technically walk around your pots? You can't technically walk around your pots. Do you have to say that?
No. A good point. You don't have to look for a way out of it. If this is the normal way you walk over here, this is the normal place, then that's fine. You don't have to look for another way out of it. Good point. Okay, now, we gave an example. Oh, so now, before we go on to the last example. But Chazal said that if you're moving it to protect the item, protect this kli, I left my hammer outside on the chair. I left my phone. My phone is a klishim lach teliser. I left it outside on the chair outside, and the sun is coming to shine, and it can get ruined. Or it's going to rain. I'm not allowed to do. I'm not allowed to move it inside the house. It's called mechama l'tzel, to bring from the sun to shade for the protection of the item itself, that I'm not allowed to do. I'm not allowed to do by klishim lach teliser. I'm not allowed to move for its protection. If you do it with a shinoid, it'll be mutter. We'll learn about that separately. We'll learn all the exceptions how to move it. But to move it with your hands, to bring it inside, that I'm not allowed to do for its protection. So the question arises, I have my child, he's holding a magic marker here. He's holding it, it's open, and he's running around with it. And he's about to either color all over his shirt or scribble all over the wall. I want to just grab that away from him. Now, if we work through it, I don't need the magic marker for any usage. I don't need the place where the magic marker is, but I'm not taking it away for protection. I'm protecting my wall, but not protection of the muksa. So is it mutter or not? You hear the question? In other words, we don't have the gufim kaimai, but we don't have the mecham itself. So over here will be mutter. As long as, the rule is, as long as I'm not moving it for the protection of the item, it's mutter. It does not have to be exactly gufay or mekaimai. As long as it's not being moved for the protection of the item, it's mutter. There's a very interesting discussion that Moshe Feinstein has about paper, blank paper. Rav Moshe Feinstein held that blank paper is considered a kli shemalach delis. Therefore, Rav Moshe is discussing over there someone who has a sefer and he keeps his blank papers in his sefer. He says that's a problem on Shabbos because those papers are muks. Rav Shlomo Zalman held that it depends. If it's expensive block of paper where you would be very careful and think twice about using it for anything except for writing on, so then that's a kli shemalach delis. But if it's regular loose leaf paper that you give to your kids to doodle on and you make spitballs from it, then that's not considered kli shemalach delis. And halacha l'maaseh, most places can go with this psak that standard paper that you don't think twice about is not a problem of muksa. Electrical appliances. So when they're working, they're considered kli shemalach d'leiser. They're considered a kli shemalach d'leiser. Some want to say it's even a kli shemalach d'leheter, but it's at least a kli shemalach d'leiser, and therefore I can move them around. Let's say I left my mixer on the counter, and now I need the place on the counter. So I can move, because I need the place on the counter, I can move it to wherever I need to move it to. I meant to give an example of something that was plugged in. A fan that's blowing. If it's not plugged in, then this already is a question the place can, do we view it like a rock, a stone, which has no usage the way it is? Or we also view it as a kli shemalach d'leiser. Halacha l'maaseh makes no difference. Therefore, the mixer I can move if I need the place on the counter. Okay? When you're moving it, even the tzarech mekayim, it doesn't have to be that you need the place right now. I know I'm going to need it later, I could already move it now for later. Tzarech gufa, if I'm moving it for the usage, has to be that I need to use it, not that I'm going to need to use it later. Okay, any questions on this? No questions? Okay, so we'll go on to the next rule, which is what's called the kli shemalach d'leheter. Kli shemalach d'leheter means a kli, a utensil, something which has a usage to it, and its main usage is for heter. A chair, a table, dishes, silverware, these are all kelim which are malach d'leheter. It's mutter to eat on Shabbos, it's mutter to sit on a chair, it's mutter to use the table. These are kelim which are mlach de leheter. Keli shemlach de leheter is mutter to move, even if it's mechamel itself. Even if I'm just moving it for its protection. The chair, the dining room chair was left outside and starting to get sunny and to get ruined. I could bring it in the house as long as there's an eruv. I could bring it in the house. There's one limitation, which is hard to define. That is to move the kli shemalach d'leheter for no reason at all. For no reason at all, that's awesome. But what's called no reason at all? If I'm flipping the spoon, because I enjoy flipping the spoon, or it keeps my fingers busy. So then there's a reason for that. So what's called no reason? Why would you ever do something without reason? So the only answer I can think of this is that you were spacing out and you're moving it while you're spacing out. But how can you tell someone not to space out? So the answer is that, yeah, that's what Chazal is telling us. Now, Shabbos, be tuned, stay tuned. Be aware that today is Shabbos. And be careful. Okay? Okay, so we discussed today kli shemalach d'leheter. And next week we'll discuss Muksa Machasar and Kiss, and then we'll move on.
What's
A muktzamach sarkis is something which is expensive. We'll define it clearly. Something which is another category of muksa. And then we'll move on to things which have no usage. And with that we'll get to pails and shells and things like that that are on the table.
Thank
have a wonderful night.
So